Amen. It's exciting to be here with you and just to bring a word of the Lord. I have a passion about what I'm talking about because I believe that it's a word of the Lord. I'm not trying to give you a theological disposition or type message this morning as much as I am trying to encourage you in something that God is saying. And when we hear what God is saying, then we have to take responsibility with the word that God is releasing to us. And we are either fulfilled in what God has for us or we miss that mark. Now, God doesn't reject you and write you off just because you miss the mark. No. Daddy never gives up on you. Daddy will always be working for you. He'll always love you. I love all of my children greatly, but a couple of them have really messed up at times. And Daddy's had to erase all of that, and Father's erased all of that. And, they're still loved, but they missed a couple marks in their life. And over the years, they've got back on course, and now they're headed back in the right direction. And now God's given them new momentum, and the end of the story is, I guess, is that we all get at the same place at the same time, and it's wonderful. Amen. Anybody been driving down the highway, and you just, hate driving behind somebody, so you pass them three times? And just before you get to your destination, who pulls up alongside you? The same one you passed the half a dozen times. We all get to the same place, at the same time in the kingdom. So watching this church grow, watching your pastors grow, and I have such a great respect for both Dr. Janet. She's a good role model. We like to teach pastors, keep studying, keep getting better. Don't ever level out. And that needs to be a principle for all of us. Never just level out. Always be studying. Always be praying. Always keep pressing forward. Always keep looking, ahead in the eyes of it. And always present yourself to be teachable. Everybody say teachable. And when you quit being teachable, then you quit growing. And I've been, you might say, second in command under Bishop Hammond in our network for 40 years. And, I present myself to Bishop Hammond for correction. And naturally, he has to look really, really, really hard. No, he doesn't. It doesn't take him a second. He always comes up with something. Glory to God. Where did you pick up that word amen? So he'll ask me, where'd you get that word amen from? When you speak, you always say amen. What do you say amen for? why do you always put your hand in your pocket? That's a bad habit. Don't put your hand in your pocket. Yes, sir. Never button the second button. I watched you. I noticed you had a second button. I said, okay, watch my buttons. So, hallelujah. I minister in a church out in California. I've been going there for about 20 years. The apostle there is Lydia Taylor. She has Love International. And Apostle Lydia is just, she's a first-class lady, Hispanic, has a Hispanic church. And she has about 14 pastors and churches that relate to her. And I go out there every year and minister with all of these churches out there. But she watches me every year. If anything is out of order at all, she does not mind telling me. And I have this favorite blue sport coat that I like to wear just because I like to shock people. Sometimes I'll wear a red one. Sometimes I don't wear green ones, blue, red. But anyway, she says, Apostle, don't wear that coat anymore. And I'm looking like, what's wrong with my coat? She said, the hem's crooked on the right side. No. My first thought was, you're being picaroonish. Amen. But I've learned to be teachable. Amen. I've learned what I've learned prophetically by correction, by being in so many churches with such a varying number of pastors and differences of denominations, and everybody has a little different rule. Amen. And so in your house, we have one rule. In another house, we have another rule. And we have to learn to respect and honor the rule of every house. One's not right and the other one wrong. It's just, that's the anointing, that's the gifting, that's the flavor, that's the, that's the presentation of that house. Amen. And as apostolic prophetic people, we have to be sure that we're teachable, amen, so that we're in the right order, so that we present the kingdom and we represent the vision where God has planted us in the marketplace, in your spheres of influence, and in your communities. Amen? And look at somebody and say, you need to be a good example. Amen. We need to be a good example of our pastors, of the vision of the house, and all that God has given us here. I want to pick up on this word. I want to do a couple things different this morning with the time frame that we have. We have a great day in front of us, but I want to bring a word and just impact some of this word we brought Friday night. I want to add to that, and then I want to minister to elders at different points of time. And as I do, amen, I would just like for you to extend your hands to them. I felt like the Lord was saying to pray for the elders in the congregation. Normally, we have prayed for the elders in private over the years. I felt like the Lord said, pray in the congregation because you need to hear what God is saying to your elders. Amen. Because what God ministers to the head flows all the way down to the body. Amen. And, you know, you have your senior leaders, pastors, Dr. Janet and Leonard Cook. Amen. Then you have associate pastors. And then you have your elders and then your deacons. Amen. This is the governmental structure in the church. And they're given responsibility, amen, to help watch over the flock. And the enemy's challenge is always to try to undermine leadership, because if you can undermine leadership, then you can derail the church and you can bring division in the church. And the Bible says that a house divided, once it's divided, it can't stand. You know, and so we want to learn to respect our leaders, and we need to hear what God is saying to them so that we can honor that word in the house. Amen. Look at somebody and say, God's next level warrior. Amen. I am driving this year, amen, with our churches and leaders, amen, that there's a next level that God has for you, amen. And when I received this prophetic word, I heard the Lord tell me, he said, I'm not saying another level or a different level, because another level or a different level will be an escapism to get you off the level that you're on so that you won't go to the next level. Is everybody with me? When the going gets tough, normally people look for the easiest path of resistance. In other words, we oversee thousands of pastors. I work with hundreds of pastors all the time. Unfortunately, pastors aren't perfect, just like we're not perfect. And you have to deal with situations, and you have to be able to talk to them about situation. What I've noticed in accountability and relationship, and all of us want to think, I am dedicated, I am faithful, I am committed. But it's not until you're in a place of problem or you've had a failure that you are tested as to whether or not you are truly accountable. Because when you go to begin, for example, with your children can be just as sweet as the day. But when you have to correct them, you might see a little different disposition come out of that child. Has anybody experienced that? Oh, what was that? I didn't know that was in there. Glory to God. Amen. You know, and so normally it's not until you have to adjust something or correct something in love, amen, that people will resist submitting, amen, to authority. And so escapism is the next choice. And so you may choose to just leave this church, or choose to leave this covering, or choose to leave your job, or choose to leave your family in a lot of cases. Amen. But I heard the Lord saying, it's not a matter of escapism, of trying to go to a different place or to another place, but it's going to that next level right where you're at. Say, right where I'm at. Amen. Because the truth is that the battle is always where you're at. So reality is always where you're at. Everything else is a dream. Everything else is a vacation. Everything else is fun until you get there, and then you have to confront reality. You have to work. You have to pay bills. You have to, amen, you have to survive. You have to learn to like the area, and it just seems like the fun goes out the window, and now it's all true grit. Has anybody experienced this with me? Amen. Unfortunately, I had to experience this several times in my life before I ever caught on to what God was really saying to me. Amen. But I hear the Lord speaking plainly. He says, my next level warriors are those that work through the pressures. They're teachable. They allow growth. They learn of the word. They enter into intimate relationship with the Father. Amen. And in that process, God takes you to that next level, and you overcome and you conquer, and you're able to fulfill and plant right where you're at. Amen. I can't tell you how many times people have escaped where they're at only to find themselves coming back to where they escaped from, or trying to find a way to get back there because it was much better than the place that they ran to. Has anybody experienced that? Am I the only one? Amen. So I do speak from experience as well. But when I heard God say next level warriors, he gave me Zechariah 12 and 8. And I'm just going to share quickly a portion of what I shared Friday night. You might want to get the CD. But Zechariah 12 and 8 says, in that day, interpreting the word present truth, now, where we're at, or in this day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem or his kingdom, his church, both Jew and Gentile. Amen. So we could say the people, amen, of Elkhart, Indiana, or the contiguous cities or Indiana, regardless, present right where we're at. Amen. So in this day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of this house, all that have a hearing ear. And the one who is feeble among you in this day, amen, will be like David. Look at somebody and say, you'll be like David. Amen. So the devil works overtime to try to defeat you, to try to cause you to think that you're something less than what God created you to be. Amen. So God has made you unique. You're fearfully, you're wonderfully made. You're anointed of God. But if we are not totally submitted to God and under his authority, gifting will not take you to heaven. You need to understand that. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Even though you can prophesy, work miracles, signs, wonders, and we can do all these fabulous things, yet without love, you're just sounding brass and a conging cymbal. You hear what I'm saying? Amen. So it is walking in that place of accountability. So the one who is the weakest among you, amen, will be like David. And so God says, this is a season. I want to build you up. I want you to identify with the anointing and gifting that I have upon your life, not only in the sanctuary, but in your spheres of influence, on your jobs, in your families, in your communities, and the multiple places where I have you. And he said that the house of David shall be like God, or his house, his place of feeding, where the bread of life is, will be like God. And I felt like the Lord said that I'm bringing honor back to my house. Come on now. We can't just wait to get into the foyer to have coffee and fellowship. We can't wait to get into the sanctuary to begin to worship and to praise God and begin to pray and begin to call down the glory of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. Come on. I believe glory and honor is coming back to the house of the Lord. I believe the altars of God are being anointed. Amen. That more people will find themselves at the altar of God so that we can get rid of the old man, so that we can put on the new man in Christ Jesus. Come on. It is a new day. God says that next level, amen, is a place of preparation, amen, to cause you to rule and reign in the sphere of influence that I have you. Amen. So he says that each one of you, the weakest among you, will be like David in the house of God. Amen. Will be the voice of God. We come here, amen, to hear the voice of the Father. Amen. Matthew 11:11 speaks of John the Baptist and the greatness of the prophetic mantle that was upon his life, to the point that Jesus says there was none greater than John, none born of women that is greater than John the Baptist. But he said, yet the least among you is greater than John. Look at somebody and say, you are great. So the scripture is merely telling you, amen, don't believe the lie of the devil. Don't believe the deceitfulness of your opposition. You have to remind yourself, I am an heir and a joint heir with God. Come on now. I am sold out to him. He is sold out to me. We have a love relationship. Amen. I'm covered by his blood. I am honored by him and I honor him. And regardless of what comes against me, Paul said, neither life, death, death, perils of life, sword, all of these things, none of these things will be able to separate me from the love of God. Come on, you need to be so bound to the love of God, just like He is bound to you. Lord just reminded me of a prayer that I prayed one morning. I was in my prayer time, Brother David, and as I was praying, amen, I heard the voice of the Lord speak to me, and we all hear God just a little bit differently, but it was like a resounding voice on the inside of me. It wasn't like an audible voice. It was like just a strong sensing, a strong feeling of a voice within me, and the voice said, "Do you love me?" And I said, in my prayer time, I was all by myself. I talk with God. If you don't, you need to learn how to do that. Amen. But I say, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And then I heard it the second time. And then I began to wonder, this is sounding a little bit like the apostles in the Bible when he's asking Peter, "Do you love me?" And he asked him three times. Well, I heard the third time. And the third time I said, "Yes, God, I love you with all that's within me. I love you." Hallelujah. How many times are you going to ask me? And I just kept praying. And while I was praying, I heard the voice of the Father say, "All I want you to do is to love me unconditionally the way that I love you." So he said, "What if I never do another thing for you? What if I never give you another miracle, another financial breakthrough? What if I never heal your body? Come on. What if you never really feel my presence? What if I never do another thing? Will you love me anyway?" Honestly, I discovered I still had some flesh. Come on. I would like to think that I would have said, "Yes, God, I will just..." No, I had to think about it for a minute. And then I answered and I said, "God, all that is within me, in my heart's desire, I want to love you for who you are and not for what you do." Come on. And the Father says, "That's all I'm asking of my people. I'm asking you to love me unconditionally the way that I love you. See, I loved you while you were yet dead in sins and trespasses, when you didn't even care or you never give a thought about me. I gave my life for you, amen, that you could have eternal life in Christ Jesus." Look at somebody and say, "This is our season." So the least among you is greater than John. Amen. And so we need to hear more about the greatness of God. That does not mean that God forgets the things that we have to mature in, the things we have to grow in. As the good Father, He is always going to be chipping away at you. Hallelujah. As the good Father, amen, He is always going to bring correction and instruction and things that will make you to be the man and woman of God that He created you to be. Then I heard the Lord say, the next level in your life, your family, your business, and your ministry will be a matter of choice. Everybody say, a matter of choice. In other words, you're going to have to choose this season to go to the next level. Father is simply saying, I'm not going to force you to do what I'm asking you to do, because you're going to have to choose. You're going to have to choose to cross this Jordan. You're going to have to choose to cross this Red Sea. You're going to have to choose to climb the mountain. You're going to have to choose to call down the rain. You're going to have to choose, amen, to walk in the place of authority that I am calling you to, says the Lord. Amen. So I just pray over this house that this is going to be a house of right choices. Come on now. Look at somebody, say, you're going to make good choices. Amen. You're going to make good choices. Amen. And how many of you made a few bad choices in your life? Amen. We've all made choices that we look back and say, if I had to do that again, I wouldn't do that again. Amen. But this is a time when you have to draw the line and say, I'm not going back the way that I came, but I'm moving on forward to that next level. Amen. And I'm not going to be condemned about where I've come from, because God reversed it and He used it to mature me. He used it to educate me. He used it to prepare me, but I'm never going back there again. He brought me out to bring me in, amen, to fulfill His kingdom through me on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. And so this is a time of right choices here at the river. Amen. And it's going to be a time of advancement and promotion. Amen. You become a sum total of all of your choices. So in other words, there's a time when all of your choices all add up. Come on. And when you start adding up those choices, you start planning the next year just a little bit differently. Amen. Why? Because God is teaching us wisdom, amen, through our choices. I hear the Lord saying, from this time forward, if you will allow me to, and if you will cooperate with me. I wish I could just expound on those two words. Allow me to. In other words, give God the right to work in your life. Well, we all give Him the right, amen, for blessing. We all give Him the right for the supernatural. We all give Him the right for, amen, pouring out blessing, opening doors of opportunity. We all give Him the right for increase and for blessing. But listen, with God, it's not about those things, because none of those things can save you. See, what is going to save you is allowing God to deal with the inner man and to deal with the heart. That's why I'm hearing the word God's next level warriors are ones that open themselves on the altar of God and say, not my will, God, but your will be done. Come on. God, whatever you have to extract out of me. God, whatever's in me that I can't see myself. Oh, Lord, cause an elder to see it. Cause a prophet that is recognized in the house of God to see it. Cause my pastors to see it. And if they see it, God, I will submit to it. Lord, whatever's in me that is preventing me from getting where I need to be, Lord, extract it out of me and get it out of me. See, God's next level warriors are going to be prepared for war. You don't go into battle if you're impaired some way in your body. Come on. You have to be fit and able to go into warfare. And I believe the Lord is saying, I want my church fit and I want you able here at the river to go to that next level. Come on now, to destroy, amen, the devil and all of his cohorts and every principality and power that has tried to raise up against your pastors, against your leaders, against your home, against your businesses, against your children, against your finances. He said, I literally want you to be a destroyer of principalities and powers. Now, if you're going to destroy, then everything you're going to destroy has to be destroyed in you, because you cannot have authority over something that you have not got victory over yourself. Does everybody understand that? Come on now. And so God is speaking to the river this morning. He says, I'm wanting to take you to that next level of glory, says the Lord. God says, where you will see me in a brand new way. So he said, if you will allow me to and you will cooperate with me, I will work on you and I will restore your dream. Look at somebody say, he'll restore your dream. Again, we could preach on hours about a dream, and I believe that we need to speak on dreams. And I'm not talking about supernatural dreams and all of the phenomena of dreams, even though we need to understand that. And God's releasing more of that in the earth. Amen. But the Bible says that without a vision or without a dream, come on now, you don't have to worry about the other dreams, because you perish right where you're at. It is necessary for you to have a dream. It is necessary for you to have a hope and a promise. And if the devil can rob you of a dream or a hope of a promise, young people, if he can rob you of your promise of education, young married couples, if he can rob you of a hope of a future. My wife and I just celebrated our 55th wedding anniversary, but I'm telling you, it has been years of trial. Come on now. You're not married 55 years without having some conflict and some trials and, you know, iron sharpening iron and stones tumbling against each other and all the polishing. And there's times you don't even know if you like each other. Come on. Sometimes you want to go on vacation just to get away from each other. Some people want to go to heaven to escape marriages. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm just saying it is a challenge. But if you stay the course and you keep your eyes focused on the Father, come on now, He will give you a hope and a promise in your marriage. See, it is sad in the world today of the divorce rate and marriages that do not make it. Come on. Or too many voices speaking into couples. Come on now. That is bringing division in marriages. Come on now. My wife and I got married as teenagers. I wouldn't recommend that to anybody. See, I have grandsons now that are about the age I was when I got married, and I'm looking at them. I said, how in the world did that happen? What was it, 1962? Nobody told me all the rules of life. Hallelujah. Amen. But at the same time, we've been married longer than most. Come on. I'm just saying that it is a place that you have to work through in the trials of life. Amen. And God's going to heal your marriages. He's going to heal your families. Come on now. Stay the course. Let God work on you and let Him tear down old structures. Come on now. If you will allow me to and you will cooperate with me, I will do the shaking and the breaking and I will prepare you for the taking. Come on now. And so we need to literally pray, God, shake me. God, break me. God, take me through this crash course now. Amen. So that I can be clothed in the garments of heaven. Amen. That I work through the trials of this life. But He said, I will restore your dream. I'm not going to give you a different dream or alter the dream or give you another dream. I will restore the dream. What is He saying? He is saying some of you have walked away from the vision because you felt like you failed and you felt like you didn't make it. And so you're looking for another dream or another hope. He said, no, I'm going to restore the dream that I put in you in the beginning, says the Lord. And God said, you will walk in places that you have never walked in before. So God says, get your dream back. Get your zeal back. Get your vision back. Get your passion back. Get your desire back. Come on now. Move those scales from your eyes. Shake off the heaviness, amen, that the enemy tried to put upon you. Why? Because I'm bringing you into a place where you've never been before. He said, I'll put your feet into new streams of life, amen, that will literally begin to bring new life source to you. Amen. Can we give the Lord a praise offering? Amen. Look at somebody and say, dream big. Look beyond where you're at. Dream the heart and plans of God. Amen. Give a hand for your pastor. Praise the Lord.